At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show. It is Friday, January 10th, and we are in the midst of our three-hour SmackDown cycle. Sounds like that might be changing back to 2 hours sooner than later, but full steam ahead for WWE right now. Royal Rumble season just around the corner. The huge Netflix debut. Oh my goodness, so much happening in WWE world. Chelsea Green, of course, setting the record for the longest U.S. women's title reign of all time, and now most defenses as well. So there you go. But we're going to talk about it all and get in those super chats, get in those humper chats at humperchats.com. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. I'm going to tell you all to subscribe to Fightful Select and why in a moment, but we're going to let those numbers keep trickling in. So I'm not giving you the hard sell over and over and over again. But until then, I'm going to ask Alex Cardoza how he's doing. How are you?
Hey, I'm in the middle of a snowstorm here in central North Carolina. I would have never thought that I'd be fleeing New Jersey, coming here, and here we are. I mean, and if by snowstorm, I mean maybe 1 or 2 inches here.
Yeah, some of the South does not know how to deal with snow. I remember I worked for a mobile tech firm in Brooklyn, and it was headquartered in Austin, and they would get like 3 snowflakes and be like, shut down the world, shut down school. And I was like, I grew up in upstate New York, so I was like, this is bikini weather as far as I'm concerned, man. But yeah. I know Allie Cease is in the chat. I know Kentucky got some nasty snow as well. Sean's just salting his driveway every day and having bonfires outside from what I've seen. But get in those super chats and humper chats, as we were saying. Let's tell y'all why to subscribe to Fightful Select, all right? Because it's going up, and we're going to justify you
going up,
paying the $6, okay? The best $6 in the biz. We want your $6, baby, okay? But we had the Fightful Awards voting happened back there. You get all the scoop skis you could ever want. We also saw that Malakai Black is likely done in AEW and exiting the company. We don't have any confirmation specifically about his contract, just to clarify. Things can change at any moment, but it is believed widely that he's on his way out of the company. He's pretty public about that when it's not the case, and he has not spoken up. So I think it's probably more fair to assume that he is on the way out of the company, other than past rumors, which we've never reported before. But that went up on FightfulSelect.com. The wonderful return of Kenny Omega finally happened. Fightful Select had the report that he would be ready to rock and roll by World's End. He didn't have in-ring action there, but he did, of course, show up on that pay-per-view. Tons of contract news down the stretch, especially on the New Japan side. My goodness, busy, busy, busy over there on Fightful Select. Only going to be busier, too, as we head into Royal Rumble season. AEW side, Revolution's picking up. So much going on there. But we've got some super chats and humper chats coming in. All Megan's faves have gold on SmackDown. Well, I'm happy for you. I love it when my favorites have gold. But shout out to Banks and Clavidal was at SmackDown, and it was awesome. Oh, I love that.
Nice. Please
tell us more about the live experience. I would love to know. I would love to know. But yeah. Tiffy, Shinsuke, DIY, and President Chelsea, Miss Andrade, glad Los Garza won. Hashtag justice for Naomi. We are going to talk about all that and more. But I love it when people's favorites get to have title moments. That's the best ever. And Kylie, the gamer princess who we love around these parts, says, Hi, Kate. Hi, Alexis. Love you both. Hope y'all are good. I'm doing well today. I'm excited for the weekend. We're rocking and rolling. Alexis is battling the snow, but he was around Jersey enough that that's not real snow.
Yeah, this is real snow. Some of it is like 3 to 6 inches. Some might say that's pretty average, by the way. But yeah.
Oh, you couldn't have saved that for later. We have a read later for that kind of thing, Alexis.
I got another one in my pocket and some names I got to pick up in a little while.
So yeah, you got some names that you're going to drop back there. But me, Norma, saying, hello, Bings, and half-assed clavicles. Looking at you, Cardoza. Have you thanked Netflix today? Have you waved at strangers for no reason? Let's crank. So, if you're wondering where that lore comes from, I think a lot of people that watched Raw this week knew that it was not for the fan base that was already watching. It was for Netflix viewers that might be tuning in for the first time in a long time. But Alex Blaski and I were not very entertained by that. And we felt like there were so many celebrities waving. It was a lot of this, a lot of like celebrities from the early 2000s. And just so much thanking Netflix. It was like Solo thanking the Bloodline. So we were having a field day with that on Fightful Select. But we always appreciate your support around here, Meet Normus. And Mike C saying, thank you all of Fightful for being a part of my daily life. Oh, thank you so much. We really don't exist without your support. As much as people say we're on whatever company's payroll, we are supported by you guys through your views, through your subscriptions, through chats like this. So thank you so much. Kate Fujiwara Apples said, Alexis, thank you for being so kind to me this past week. I'm not always able to chat in, but I'm always here supporting every show, mostly the morning after. Well, thank you so much for such a kind chat, guys. Yeah. Here's what happened, okay, before we dig into this episode. It was so wrestling brain funny and embarrassing. I went to Trader Joe's.
Oh, boy.
In the produce section, vegan. I got a lot of fruits and veggies to buy in my life. I'm walking through. I see the apples. By the way, they were 69 cents. Nice. And I see Fuji apples. And I'm talking to the produce guy. And I call them Fujiwara apples.
Oh, my Lord.
He looks at me like I have 8 heads. Because he's not a wrestling fan. And if he is, he's not like a nerd that's watching too many Zack Sabre Jr. matches. But yes, I called Fuji apples by their proper name. The Fujiwara Armbar apples.
You had one job.
I did. You know what? It was one of those things too. I knew I was going to do it because I think of it every single time I pass the like Fuji apple sign. It's like when you see the word Yosemite and you want to go to pronounce it Yosemite and you're like, no, that ain't the word though.
Well, that has never happened to me, but now that I think about it, I might want to call you Semite.
That doesn't happen to you? Every time I see the word Yosemite, I'm like, Yosemite, nope.
No, this is the first time I've ever heard it that way in my illustrious 25-year career.
I bet because it's probably just a me thing, but I was gonna say, I bet learning English, it was probably different since it's maybe not. Maybe I'm just making that up.
Maybe I don't know.
Come on, I'm already embarrassing myself at Trader Joe's. Work with me on this.
I'm trying to pick you up on here, but it's just not working for me. I'm sorry.
Taylor Cannon saying hello, favorite post show. Yo. Love you guys. Hope you both are well. We got some snow here in Chicago. I enjoyed seeing Jacob and Bianca this evening. Yeah, they went out of their way to make Jacob Fatu feel like a star, and he didn't need much help. We're going to talk all about that. And Bianca, always great to see her in the ring. Let's start to dig into this episode because we actually have kind of the perfect segue into talking about overall SmackDown, because I think there's good and bad. Will saying, I think Triple H saw your video about the tag division. Two good matches tonight, and that women's four-way was a banger. So we were talking a little bit before on air, and I think the prevailing belief, and even the belief of Triple H, it sounds like, is 3 hours is not the ideal length for a wrestling show. He had said that they'll probably go back to 2 hours. I don't know when that is. But the good of it is we do have more women's wrestling and we do have more tag wrestling on the show. That chat was referring to a video on my YouTube channel, at Miss Kate Fame. You can go there. But I was running down strengths, or I'm sorry, weaknesses that AEW and WWE share, meaning I think both companies are struggling in certain areas. The multi-man divisions in both shows is a major, major thing that needs love. Today, we saw some movement in that area here, which was good to see. We actually saw some on Dynamite, so they knew just from me recording it before I even released it that something needed to be done about this, but that's kind of the biggest upside of having 3 hours is you do have multiple women's matches, you do have multiple tag matches, so the talent rotation a little bit fresher in that regard. But overall, seemed like a slog. I'm of the belief that the fact that, I mean, of everything we saw tonight, pretty much everything was a rematch in some way, shape, or form, except for Motor City Machine Guns versus A-Town Down Under. So that just makes it less interesting because I've seen it before with so much of this stuff. But kind of overall, what were your thoughts?
Not to sound negative, I mean, some of the matches were pretty good. It felt a little bit like dragged out a little bit to me. Obviously, because of our good friends and partners at Nord, I'm able to watch it on Netflix. There was a lot of commercials too. Even though they didn't play commercials because I'm watching the London feed, so they basically just like put a splash screen of like wrestlers dancing. I felt like there was just a lot of start and stop and just dragging out. Like even the Shinsuke and LA Knight match, I felt was like, oh my God, has this thing passed like four segments? Other than that, it was nice to see Austin Theory kind of getting in some shine. He looked really good. Something about tonight's show felt like very like old school SmackDown in the sense of the aesthetic, like the lights were a little bit more dimmer and
I'm loving the blue mat too. The blue mat looks really cool.
The blue mat is so what's happening is the darker the color it absorbs more light, right? So what's happening is because it's a darker mat, it's absorbing the light that hits the ring. So it's giving it a really weird, cool look for me.
It's neat.
I'm getting a little nerdy there, friends, because I work in the
Oh my god! I just dropped names, Well, you mentioned our friends at Nord, so darn it, we're gonna tell you about our friends at NordVPN. They are presents sponsors of the Fightful Awards. They're deepening their relationship with us. We appreciate that so much. But one huge advantage of having a VPN, and Nord is the best one in the game. You do have access to other programs on Netflix. You do have access to things commercial free. You can get pay-per-views a little bit cheaper, but protect all of your devices and travel to other countries if you don't like what your streaming services here in America are giving you.
There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful.
They're so nice to us at Nord. Please be nice to them. Let them know you found out about them through us, but sincerely, of all the sponsors that we have, like the Fightful discount runs deep over at Nord.
Yes,
but let's
really does.
Finally get into this episode of SmackDown. Let's talk about this kind of through line. Your $6 for Fightful Select, but let's talk about kind of our opening through to the main event here. We got that chat about Jacob Fatu, so let's start with that. We do have Paul Heyman opening the show and praising Roman Reigns and revealing that he's going to be in the Royal Rumble, which does make it more interesting because I think John Cena wins it anyway and probably has a different one-on-one match at Elimination Chamber. But the idea that Roman Reigns could be in it, win it, and challenge Cody, maybe set up a triple threat with CM Punk, I don't know. They're making such a big deal out of this John Cena last appearance in Toronto thing that, like, him winning Elimination Chamber is something that hypothetically they could do. They could go that route if they wanted. But that's kind of the big news for this. And then we get Cody coming out, and Cody gets, of course, a huge ovation, shakes Paul Heyman's hand, but they get interrupted by Kevin Owens, who rules and accuses Cody of aligning with Roman and others to the detriment of the company. And we get a brawl here, and that's not the only brawl you're going to see this evening. How about that? We get chaos with Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga coming out to confront Heyman. Jimmy Uso trying to fight them off with the chair, but getting overpowered. Jacob Fatu just absolutely wreaking havoc in this. So we get this brawl here, and I'm not loving that Cody.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
He is, like, basically, it feels like in the bloodline at this point. Like, he's a little too involved in their picture for me. I can't say it doesn't make sense. It makes plenty of sense. The story from WrestleMania to this, the reason Kevin Owens hates him is because of his alignments with the bloodline. I just kind of feel like I thought we were getting head of the table settled between Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. And then they had like eight guys in that match. And I'm like, I get that's what the bloodline does every time. But if it's supposed to be like head of the table, these two guys duking it out, and Roman Reigns just wins with the help of everybody, including Cody Rhodes, I don't feel like that settles who's the head of the table. Now, maybe that's continuing, but I kind of thought we were leaning toward a blow-off in that sense. But we see interference later in the night as well. We see it in the U.S. title picture, which we'll circle back to later. But then we have this main event, and I was kind of bummed that this got set up because I thought for sure Cody was going to win. I didn't think they would want Cody on the losing side of anything right now. I was like, oh, they're going to have Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga go out there and kick ass and look great. But ultimately, Cody's going to get the win. But Cody and Kevin Owens end up fighting backstage. Jimmy Uso getting pinned by a moonsault from Jacob Fatu. I was surprised by how one-sided most of this seemed. When it was so one-sided, I thought inevitably the faces were going to win because that's the style match they were doing. Jacob Fatu is a mega, 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 mega star. Like, I'm not in the Solo Sikoa sucks clubs either. Like, I think Solo Sikoa is actually really good, but Jacob Fatu's like the guy. Really nice piece of announcing by Wade Barrett on this as well, saying, they said he's like 285 pounds, and he says, yeah, but he flies like he's at 185 and he hits like he's 500. And I just loved that piece of announcing of like, he's the average of these two things, but like he moves in the air like he's a lot lighter and he hits like he's a lot heavier. So I actually really, really liked it. What did you kind of think of this through line that we got through all of this? I kind of feel like it's a little too big for me. I want it to narrow back down a little bit.
Yeah, it's very crowded is the word I want to use, right? So we're so used to linear style storylines when it comes to the championships and the people that are going against for, you know, each other for that championship, right? We just have way too many players involved in what's happening right now, none of which is helping Cody's cause completely. Like, I feel lost as to, like, why are all these people just, I understand their stories and stuff, but even though something's being told, you can still question it, right? So I'm questioning the fact that Cody, who just got his ass beat a couple weeks ago by the Bloodline, and every Bloodline hated him, you know, and he had all this animosity towards everyone. All of a sudden, we do the old, you know, WWE thing where we kind of just like flip, and it's like, all right, we're going to become friends for a little while and see how this goes, you know? So it's just too convoluted, too many things happening at once, and we're not concentrating on Cody Storna. It's starting to seem like, I understand they're trying to put this huge like emphasis on, like, they continue to say Cody's the quarterback, right? Cody's the quarterback, like, he's this and that, blah 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 blah. He's the face and he's the greatest ever that has ever wrestled in 75 years in WWE. But to me, it's like his story is being overshadowed by everything else and what everyone else is doing around him, you know? And then you throw KO. I feel bad for KO. You're throwing KO in it just because he wants to beat him up. Just because he's pissed at him. You know?
That is like the only part that's working for me, to be honest. Like, that part works for me because I just buy that KO is
the only person that's sticking to an actual story, like, you know, one-on-one, basically, like, this is my goal.
Tunnel vision. I'm going after.
It's just him. And it makes sense. Everything else around Cody, unfortunately for me, has been a miss. I know a lot of people are like excited and everything, but for me personally, sitting here, I'm still enjoying the fights. I'm still going to enjoy what's happening because I'm just a wrestling fan, right? But at the end of the day, when I analyze and I break it down, I'm like, wow, man, like, come on. Like, can we have Cody? Like, if Cody was focused on just one person, this would be insane, especially now. We're like 59 days away from WrestleMania, you know?
Yeah, it's
like,
pretty crazy. It's pretty like, crazy. I think, okay, he'll
maybe
get
a little bit, like 69. Whoa.
Damn, nice.
That's the second one already I've dropped.
Nice.
But yeah, you know, but sorry, I didn't want to go long-winded. It's just this storyline specifically, unfortunately for me, Cody's reign has not been that well for me. It has had its moments, but
the Kevin Owens feud is the thing that's worked for me the most. Like, I liked the stuff with Gunther, the stuff for Logan Paul I was never going to like. Half of the AJ stuff was good. The end of that I Quit match was not good. The KO stuff I've really liked. I think they feel like this is the only way to sustain that to Royal Rumble. And that's not it for me. That's not it for me. But Lil Chisholm saying Punk, Roman, Cena, and Rumble. What is this, 2014? So I will say this. Overall criticism, in the new era, we are sliding back into some old era stuff. John Cena, it's his retirement year. I don't have a problem with that. Punk just returned over the past year. Of course, he's going to be in a Rumble. He's one of your biggest guys. Like, I get that stuff. For the new era, though, to be bringing out Hulk Hogan, to be reported by PW Insider, not by us, but to be considering bringing Ric Flair back, to have these Legends nights clearly affecting the length of women's matches again, to have Rhea Ripley's big win be kind of, I felt some people were like, it was a passing of the torch to Rhea Ripley. I was like, I felt like it overshadowed her win. This was supposed to be an 8-month blow off. They got 10 minutes and the Undertaker coming out on his rascal scooter at the end. To having the top of the card be all older guys and not that's what that bike looked like to me, man.
What
I was like,
the hell?
That ain't the American Badass I know. That was not a bike. And then tonight I'm looking at this card and I was like, not only is it 3 hours, so it feels longer. I've seen all these matches before. Yeah. We're like at Vince level versions of rematches with stuff, and we have fresh titles and we're still doing rematches, but we're going to get into to more of that. But yeah, it is funny to see, cause I got into wrestling in 2009. So to see some of the names that, like, when I first started watching wrestling are like back in it now is it's a weird time warp. It's a weird time warp. James Zimmerman saying Cody hugging the Rock is Stone Cold's handshake with Vince. The shark has been jumped. I will give them the benefit of the doubt that they'll pay that off. I will say The Rock on NXT was like hilariously scattered. Like, that guy had nothing to, to say at all.
I know. I don't know what that was.
Megan chiming back in saying, did best to make third hour worth it. First PDX SmackDown since 08. I don't know what PDX is. I'm going to assume that means like in-person attendance, perhaps. PDX. I don't know. That sounds like a workout program. Megan, if you want to clarify in the chat, feel free to. You don't have to like super chat.
You mean the P90?
P90X? Yeah. Well, Chisholm pointing out that in this match, Jacob never said, I love you, Solo. Now, I do think this is probably where we're headed with that story. Like, Solo lost the match for head of the table. I think Jacob Fatu's loyalty starts to fade, and we probably saw pieces of that tonight. Do you think that's where we're headed with Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa?
Yeah, you know, I think it's happening. I like it too. I don't mind it, man. I think at some point you have to have these guys go on their own too, you know? So like,
sure.
Jacob Fatu, man.
I do worry about what's next for Solo, but Jacob Fatu is clearly like main event megastar, ready to rock and roll. This guy, every time he's been in the ring, just so impressive. So impressive. Bad Robot saying, hello, favorite post show. Well, hello to you. The show had way less celebs waving at the camera, but it did have less problematic legends. So thank you, USA. Thank you, USA. If Tiffy holds the belt till Mania, who would you like to have her face? I'm going to say Charlotte Flair. Who do you want to see Tiffy face?
Yeah, we might just be calling it, to be honest. It 100% could be the Charlotte coming back to regain her spot, or at least try. I wouldn't spend all this time making Tiffy look amazing for it to just be held because you want to kind of just pass it on to a veteran. I consider Charlotte now someone who's a veteran, right? She's
sure. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I hope that she uses this time and this opportunity that if it is Charlotte could make her shine times a trillion, you know?
I agree with that entirely. That was something when Tiffany was in NXT, I remember talking about with Alex Pulowski, like, oh, that match is going to be very fun someday because, like she had the daddy's girl thing in NXT, but it wasn't, her attitude was not too far off from like, I'm the best one around here, the Tiffy time stuff, like where she ended up. So I'm for that, but let's actually dig into Tiffy and our world title picture, because as you know, it is Tiffy time. So we got a celebration promo situation going on in the ring for this. She is dressed to wrestle, you know, just in case. So Byron is there to interview her and she says, you know, I thought we were going to lean into her turning face because I feel like the crowd just really, really likes her. Makes me think maybe she is going to face Charlotte Flair because Charlotte, I think, will get big pops when she comes back. I like Charlotte more as a heel, don't get me wrong, but I think the inevitable ovation for Charlotte will at least start on the face side. But she's better than all your faves at 25, she says. And they start to question her about Nia Jax bullying her, and she says, Nia Jax never bullied me. She intentionally befriended Nia Jax to get to this point. Kind of felt like the Mariah May story in AEW a little bit, which is a good one. It's a tried and true good story. And she says that she basically played dumb the whole time until she had the opportunity to steal the title from Nia, who thought she was a dumb blonde, which I appreciate as someone who's blonde. Don't underestimate us blondes. We're very powerful. Tiffany Stratton looks like Sabrina Carpenter, for damn sake. So she gets interrupted by Nia, who, surprise, is in her ring gear. I do appreciate that Wade Barrett called out that everybody that came to the ring is in their gear, just coincidentally. I like it when announcers call things out like that. But Nia Jax starts talking from the stage. Very awkward pacing on her way down to the ring, but saying that it took her long enough to cash in and she rubbed two brain cells together just to do it and blah, blah, blah. And I was kind of like, yeah, but she beat you. So if you're calling her dumb and she beat you, that kind of makes you look worse, but
sure
is what it is. But then Bayley comes out and tells Nia Jax to shut up and says she thought Tiffany was stupid before the cash in, but she's always known that Nia Jax is stupid. And we have more to this. We have Naomi showing up with Bianca.
It's a lot going on.
Lot going on, and a lot of the people we've already seen Tiffany face. Now, the match ended up being great. Nick Aldis finally, after everybody says their piece, declares it a fatal four-way for contendership, and that is going to happen immediately. Mm-hmm. Which I appreciate, but I'm like, this is what worried me about having a mid-card title for the women. We've seen all these women, right? Like, we've seen all these women face Tiffany Stratton, in fact. Yeah. We've seen, how many times can I say Naomi come so close and just lose? Like, I've seen it 100 times at this point. The match itself was great, though. Bianca always looks so good, man. Like, what an incredible career she's been just thriving into ever since her WrestleMania match with Mercedes. Like, just unreal. But a creative ending to this as well. You have Bianca going for the KOD on Bayley, but Candice LeRae breaking that up by grabbing her braid, and then Bianca yanking that braid free to hit Naomi with it, which was nice. And then you have Nia Jax pulling Belera out of the ring, and they both fall over the desk. Bayley hitting the rose plant on Naomi for the win here. So the match, this was one of the matches I was more into over the course of the night. But when I look at this card, man, I've seen Chelsea versus Meechan now 3 times. Yeah. Los Garzas and Pretty Deadly, inevitable ending there. Motor City Machine Guns at A-Town Down Under at least felt fresh. The main event we've seen. This mm-hmm. we've seen so much. So rematch heavy across all brands with this stuff. But the match itself, I have no complaints about. I thought it was actually a very well-produced four-way. Thought everybody got to look good. It's always nice to see Bianca with the wheels off a little bit. Like, her matches with Jade were constructed in a specific way. And in a four-way like this, when she just has to look out for herself, like, it's a different version of her, and it's one that I adore from her.
Yeah.
What did you think of both the promo that we got from Tiffany still leaning heel, and then this contendership match?
I think the promo was good. It's still solidifying, you know, what her actions are and who she is and why she did things, you know, kind of like trying to make sure everyone understands her ground, right? And how she became champion and why she's champion, right? She just pretty much outsmarted everyone, you know, when everyone thought they knew everything, boom, she changed it. When it came to the match, I enjoyed, you know me, I'm a huge lover of the women in the ring fighting and beating the crap out of each other.
Hell yeah.
So they got a lot of time, which is great. I pay attention to these things because they deserve it.
Yeah,
not because they're women and they should be, but no, they're effing athletes, you know, and they do their thing. So really enjoyed it. The only thing was, I think there was a point in time that I kind of like maybe hit like a second segment for me or something, and it started to feel a little tiny bit dragged out, especially when Candice LeRae came out at that point when she was like running down.
It got a little weird. Some of the pacing was weird, like with commercial breaks and stuff tonight.
Yes, that's where it started for me. I was like, whoa, wait a second. Like, I was feeling good, and then I felt like it sucked the air a little bit out of me. Like, what just happened? You know? But overall, good ending. Good way to, you know, maybe they'll set up something with, you know, Bianca hitting Naomi by mistake. You know, like, those little things like that always play out later on. But yeah, I mean, there's still Bayley winning and getting that contendership. It just feels like I want to believe that Bayley could win it, but it's so early in Tiffany's reign.
Yeah.
You know, if maybe she won for a later shot, like if she won, she becomes number one contender for in Royal Rumble. Then you play it out long enough for me to believe that maybe something could happen at the Rumble, right? But yeah.
I was like, oh man. The most interesting thing to me about it being Bayley is Roxanne Perez just lost her title on NXT to Julia. And I think because Bayley was her incoming program, and there's so many similarities between the two, maybe Roxanne appears here to cost Bailey, to help Bailey to do something with her. So that part, the possibility of that intrigues me at least. I don't know if they'll hotshot Roxanne so fast, but I also think just from the WWE perspective, that's a very safe opening match for Tiffany Stratton in her title, right? And like Bailey is one of the most selfless in-ring performers in the whole wide world. So
yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Circling back to Jacob Fatu, John asking Fatu versus Roman at Mania. I think Fatu versus Solo at Mania. I think Roman will probably be kicking around in something way up the card. Not that Fatu won't be highly profiled, but I think Roman will probably be around that title or doing something hot and heavy at the top of that card. But if you're trying to get hot and heavy,
oh, here we go.
And you need a little assistance. Things aren't going so way. They're not hot and heavy. They're light and mildly temperatured. You need a little assistance.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about me.
Your clavicles tucked away. BlueChew.com.
You dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting? Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly. Fortunately for you, because the mailman's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be, because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman.
Yeah, mailman.
Yeah, mailman. You actually don't even need...
my wiener pills, mailman.
Yeah, mailman. Why are you looking at the dick pills?
Do you want a mailman? Take one, but not right now, because that would be awkward when you deliver mail for the rest of the city.
It would. It would make a lot of people very uncomfortable, but the mailman can get his own. He doesn't even need a prescription, and you don't even need the code FIGHTFUL anymore, so there you go.
No, not anymore. It's just there.
Just Ricardo saying, 3-hour SmackDown means seeing you guys at home now. Oh, my goodness. I'm glad you're home from work. You're always so supportive, though. Thank you for, even while you're working the night away, sending us some love over here. But we'll circling back to our talk about kind of the older top of the card, saying it does look crazy that WWE and AEW top of the card are old guys. LOL, let's be real. The Rock was drunk on NXT. Him slapping. Yeah, he slapped Ethan Page's ass, right? Right on the tuchus, man. Right on the tuchus. I was in stitches at that. Well, what's so funny was The Rock's NXT appearance. Obviously, it worked because NXT drew like almost a million. But like, he didn't say anything. And he cursed a ton. And he was like threatening to go over time the whole time. But earlier in the show, he had a segment with his real life daughter, who's that was lovely. And with Ethan Page, who I love and I feel like deserves that kind of spot, especially for the type of heel he is and his relationship with Ava. But in that segment, he's like, I don't really know what I'm going to say at the end of the show. And Ava goes, like, just, it'll come to you. Like, it'll, your heart will be in it. You'll feel the energy of the crowd and you'll just know. And then an hour and a half later, he comes out and doesn't really say anything. And I was like, wow, he really took that advice to heart. And it did not go well for him. Like, he really didn't think about anything to say between an hour and a half ago and now. But it was very funny. It was very, very funny. Great, great New Year's Evil show, though. That was one of the best NXT shows that we've seen in a while. But guys, get in your super chats and your humper chats as we work our way through this SmackDown. Does seem like our world title pictures, our bloodline angle is heating up going into Royal Rumble. So we've gotten a lot of chats about that. If you have anything else that you want to ask about that as well. But we're going to continue on with our women's picture. Let's talk about Mee Chin and Chelsea Green. Most defenses ever for a women's U.S. title holder. Huge pop for myself with that.
Huge pop, right.
absolutely adore it. But we have Chelsea retaining here. I feel like there are other matches were a little bit stronger. I think we just went back to this well maybe one too many times. I don't think there was anything bad. There were just a couple of rough spots, and their first two matches I thought were quite good. And this one, it just didn't feel like there was enough meat on the bone or something. There wasn't a whole heck of a lot more story to tell. But you have Green with that elevated flatliner for a two, but Meechan surviving it and getting up and hitting a dive on Piper. That's what happened at the end here. Get it together, Kate. But then goes back up for a crossbody, Green rolling through, grabbing the tights for the win. So Chelsea sneaky at the end there. The distraction from Piper Niven paying off. I think that, like, for example, when I say we've seen all those people face Tiffany already, what if Piper had been in that match?
Sure.
And Chelsea's doesn't like it because she's not focused on Chelsea's match that way. Piper versus Tiffany is such like a size and strength disparity versus the athleticism and sneakiness. Piper's trying to spread her wings a little bit more. Like, I really just feel like Rematch City is lessening my, not killing my enjoyment, but lessening my enjoyment of things for sure. But this match was exactly fine, but I've seen two matches better than this. I'm ready for Chelsea to have a fresh contender. I'm ready for the women's roster to be freshened up here on SmackDown. What did you think of this match? Both of these women are national treasures. I think it's time for us to move on.
Rather odd that they continue going back to the well. You know, and it's, you know, it's not like you can make it a best of seven or anything like that because you're fighting for a title and you're not going to take it off of her. So it's just like, you know, why do we continue going back to it? Why do we continue? There's plenty of other women in the back end that do an open challenge, just like Cena used to do, you know, yeah. Hey, I'm letting everyone, you know, I'm giving notice to everyone in the back. Come get this.
Yeah.
You know, come try to take it away. And then you end it with, you know, months later with Piper being the one that's like, it's my turn.
She said there on social media, people have been doing their pledges of allegiance to Chelsea, and the whole joke of it is that's that funny. She's Canadian and she has the U.S. title, right, and she's making herself the All-American champion here, right?
You're seeing the future, my friends. Canada, our 51st state.
Well, I think she should make people do their pledge of allegiance to Chelsea before she agrees to face them. Like, that should be the thing. I think that should just be worked into things.
Yeah.
But a decent enough match. I think it's time to move on from that. But let's move on to our men's title picture. Shinsuke Nakamura against LA Knight, yet another rematch. But I gotta say, the first part of this moved slow for me. The middle to the end of this really, really picked up. There's some good chemistry between LA Knight and Nakamura. Like, this is some fun stuff that we don't normally get from LA Knight in the ring. And we don't normally get like underdog LA Knight, but Shinsuke being clever and cagey and not just full on cheating forces LA Knight into situations that he has to get out of in different ways. So
yeah,
I got really into this. And then at the end, we have a DQ because we have LA Knight hitting the blunt force trauma, but Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu attack and get thrown out of the match. So who knows if this is even done. I think LA Knight should probably go to Raw, but that's when Cody gets on the mic and they set up the main event that we already talked about. But this match, the middle to the end of it really got me. Like, the things that they were doing in the beginning started to pay off in the middle and the end. So I was just like, oh, seeds planted, fruit growing. I gotcha. So I appreciated that. But what did you think of this match? I get kind of frustrated when they finally get my emotional investment in something and then they just have no conclusion because they send in interference about it.
Yeah. Interesting that the Bloodline, you know, came into this, you know, like Specifically,
we've been kind of taunting LA Knight for a little bit now. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, I don't understand. I don't want to say I understand it because I don't. You know, by the way, they've done some incredible work with Shinsuke repackaging his intro and just the way he comes out, finally giving him, you know, some flavor, you know, and true to himself. Kind of feels a little bit like the old school, you know, early 90s, you know, because everyone had a job. You know, you were either a cop, a clown, a dentist. You know, he's a ninja. You know, he's coming out. He's a samurai ninja. He's going to kill you. But, you know, here's the thing, and I want to just kind of just put it all together. We're seeing, again, a lot of the bloodline in the show, right?
Yes.
So we're seeing that happening a lot. And I feel like I think it was Eddie Guerrero said once that every week – it was like the NWO versus WCW or NWO Wolfpack or whatever, right? Like there was some type of like bloodline. Like for here's bloodline OTC or whatever. You didn't know kind of like what was happening because everything was somebody was always running in. And I don't want them to be interfering in everything, basically. You know, like I feel like this match between these two was well enough alone without the run-in. You know, I felt like it was pacing well. There were the false finishes were really damn good.
Yeah, they got me.
The rope and grabbing the rope. And it was just, I was just like, damn, this Shinsuke, where has, you know, I'm so glad he's back because I missed that Shinsuke. This is like NXT Black and Gold Shinsuke.
Yeah. You know? He's got a little more juice in him for sure.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, I hope they kind of pull back a little bit and not jump in too much. Like, you know, I don't know. I could have done without that. Other than that, the match was really good, and obviously DQ. So we're kind of falling back into a lot of our old ways.
I will say most of the finishes were clean tonight, though, which I appreciate. Yeah. Or clean enough. Like I don't have a problem with Candice LeRae really pulling Bianca's braid to sort of play into it. So I do appreciate that. I do appreciate that. So. Alex saying Fatu had to get LA Knight back for that shoulder block out the door from earlier, telegraphed the ending. There has been some taunting that has been going on with
of course,
them.
Yeah.
So I get it, but I agree to set up the main event. This just felt like I just don't like when people get my emotional investment and then it's all for naught. Like
right, yeah, yeah. And if you're gonna get, you know, if you're gonna try to set up a segment with LA Knight and Jacob Fatu in the future. You know, because LA Knight is so heavily popular that, you know, I don't think Jacob Fatu needs any of the quote-unquote rub, right?
Yeah, Jacob Fatu's been Fatu presented as on his, top of
oh
the
Oh, my God, down, yeah. Yeah. Like, he has an organic connection with the crowd, you know, and so does LA Knight. So, you know, I don't know where that would lead, but yeah.
LA Knight. Hell yeah. So, we will see what's to come. It gives them an excuse to run back LA Knight and Shinsuke again. I hope that they don't because it's just rematch after rematch after rematch. But I will say I've enjoyed the matches between those guys and something clicks in on an extra level, I feel like, for LA Knight in these matches. Like, he's forced into patterns that he's not normally in a wrestling ring. And I think he gets more creative and it's fun. It's fun to watch, yeah. But let's flip into tag action. Over 4,400 of you guys watching across platforms right now. We thank you so much for hanging with us on these late night episodes, but we've got some tag action to talk about. We love you. We love you, viewers.
We love you, viewers.
We love you, subscribers.
Subscribers, $6.
That's how we should be promoting Fightful Select. We should just be doing the solo tweets, but I love that. By the way, we do have a tentative date set for the Fightful Awards. Not this upcoming Sunday, but next Sunday. Yeah. So hang out with us then. I was just thinking about that. The new Bloodline was in the running for Stable of the Year over there. Wow. I don't know if they won, but they were coming in hot on it. But coming in hot over here, your boy is pretty deadly. You love them so much.
I love those guys.
Give them the damn musical, okay? I'm enough.
Give them the musical. You got 3 hours. You could dedicate 30 minutes to the musical.
Right. It's right there. I don't know if they need the financial backing. I don't know if they need a composer.
They could take out a loan.
I thank you very much. They should be supported in the production of their musical. I want to see it. I want to see it, Alex.
I want to see it too. I want to buy tickets.
Looking great. They look great as always. I'm standing in the TKTS line for their musical right now. Okay.
Yeah. We finally see our Hispanics get a little love.
Yeah, you know what was funny though? I saw Santos Escobar come out and I was like, he's so damn cool. I was like, there's no reason on a 3-hour show this guy should not be wrestling himself. Like, he's too cool.
I mean,
he's
giving him a break. Cool for that. Who knows? He has done a lot of live shows, so we never know once he comes out of that live show loop. He's back on TV.
TV show. He would be a nice Rumble mix up. That would be fun. But yeah. We do have Lopez distracting the ref so that Escobar crotches Elton Prince basically in this, and Angel and Berto end things for the win. You kind of knew that they were going to pick up the W in this for sure, but they continue to at least pay off the relationship with DIY later in the show. We see Pretty Deadly be like, I thought you had our backs and we had your backs and we were scratching backs, and Ciampa's like, I don't want you scratching my back. That's weird. Yeah. But Johnny Gargano essentially blames them not being out there on like, listen, you're going to get your title shot. We didn't want to make it too obvious, but there's all these backstage politics that we have to work through and things like that. And then Apollo Crews calls them idiots for believing that. So nice to see the Garz is getting a W. I like that there's at least kind of like big picture stuff happening supported by wins and losses. I know that sounds so fundamental, but we just haven't been getting that in the tag division for so long. So if hour three, though it feels very long, is going to be used for more women's wrestling and more tag wrestling, I at least appreciate it. What did you think of this match and our later backstage segment with DIY?
Again, I'm still trying to like really. I know you, last week you shut me out the show. You kicked me off for what I had mentioned.
I would never do that.
Let me tell you something. I told you earlier in the show, it was really good to see them put some shine. Like Theory looks strong. You know,
that's not the match we're talking about, Alexis. Wait,
what? I got lost. What are we talking about?
Those Garzas. We were talking about your boys and DIY.
I thought we moved on from that. I thought you said the last thing. No,
no. Just the backstage segment that accompanied this with DIY and the Garzas.
No, yeah. No, it was fine. Pretty Deadly to me is another team that their gimmick really works. And it's cheesy, but it's not to the point where it's like,
you can't
over
believe
the top.
Good. Yeah.
And they're really, really good in the ring, where you can pretty much just strip them away from the Pretty Deadly getup and put anything else on them, and they would shine just as well in the ring. It's a shame that we just kind of see them being used as comedy a lot of the time and comedy fodder. Like, we see that like on TV shows a lot, where you kind of have like a comedy duo that are always in every television show.
It's a lot of we're laughing at them instead of with them.
Because
they're losing all the time. But they do look good in the ring. We're not laughing at them in the
really
sense that
do.
They're no, made to look like they can't wrestle, you know?
Yeah. I would love for them to. I think that gimmick would work if they were like really heavy heels. Like, you know, they're still funny, but they still
could be fun.
Yeah, like really like snarky and just, you know, nasty to people. And hopefully, you know, they get their shine. But right now, it just doesn't seem like we're going to get anything out of them except, you know, being thrown in matches like this and backstage segments that just pop people.
I'm wondering if inevitably, because they have to get a title shot with DIY, otherwise all this dodginess doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Maybe the road to get there makes them a little more serious of like, we've done everything you've asked. Where the hell is our title shot? I think that could be a fun way to go, but you were trying to jump ahead.
No, I wasn't jumping ahead. I just honestly, in my head, I thought we were done and you were moving forward. And I was just like, okay, because I'm reading the rundown. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, anyway.
I was just going to use that to pivot into our second tag match here.
And second of all, I just really threw my own Hispanics under the bus. And I'm like, whatever, move on.
You did.
Jesus.
But let's talk about Motor City Machine Guns versus 8 Town Down Under. This match was pretty good. We had the double kick to Theory and then the Skull and Bones connecting for Motor City Machine Guns. Again, to get us back to another rematch. But I like that it wasn't an inevitable automatic rematch. They did have to jump through another hoop to get there. We haven't seen A-Town Down Under on TV in forever. They need to pick a direction with them and go in it. They've had dissension for like basically since they've been together. Pay it off or stick them together as a tag team for real, because it's getting old. But I had fun with this. This was decent enough. I think the team we knew was going to win one here. I feel like Austin Theory is very good in the ring. I think the character has needed repackaging since the U.S. title. Grayson Waller, they had him facing legends and then just threw him into this. They were tag team champions, and it feels like it didn't do enough.
They were
for them when they lost the titles. Theory had an egg. Theory had a golden egg, but that egg has not hatched into a whole lot of success for them.
Oh God.
This match perfectly fine, though. I think it's good that Motor City Machine Guns, because they came in and won the title so fast, they kind of lost it rather quick. So the fact that they're staying up at the top of the card, I think, is a promising sign that they're saying, hey, these guys are still important just because they lost to DIY. What did you think of the match that we got? And are you a fan of Motor City Machine Guns winning, or did you want to see A-Town Down Under move on?
Yeah, you know, I would have liked to see them finally like get some shine again. That's another team that we kind of just see that became comedy as well. Like, you know, they were kind of getting pushed around and things were just, you know, between them and made fun of and whatnot. Theory looked incredible in the ring today. To me, he looked a little bit more heelish, and like he was punching a little harder, and he looked great, by the way, in the ring. That's all I gotta say about that.
Looked very comfortable with Motor City Machine Guns. Very comfortable.
Motor City Machine Guns, again, let's rewind here. You shunned me from the show. I don't connect with them. I don't. I'm sorry, everyone who hates me.
Well, that's our show for the day. I don't know what happened. It seems like Alex is having technical difficulties over there, but thank you so much for joining us.
Wow. 2025 starting off great, everyone. I eventually will get, you know, and I said this last week, I'll eventually get into Motor City Machine Gun love and yay, and I'll hug them. And, you know, unfortunately for them, they would have to like kind of just get on top of each other vertically so that I can give them a hug, because I'm probably bigger than both of them put together. which is kind of crazy, because when I see them on TV, a lot of people tower over them.
Not Johnny Gargano, though.
Well, yeah. Not Johnny's another one. Yeah. But I don't want to see them run in the same circles, right? I want to see what as a tag team, what they're going to do. Because the tag team division, you know, for a little while now on both sides, it's kind of been like blah. It's just kind of running on cruise control.
This did feel like we were at least table setting a little bit. I do
this
like
is what
that.
I mean. Yeah. So, you know, we're kind of like they're climbing the ranks again.
Yes.
Which is a cool feel. So the more I watch them on TV, right, I'm one of those that like I'm already watching 16 hours of SmackDown on God bless you on Fridays, and another 13 hours of Monday Night Raw. It's kind of hard to kind of like go back and see their old stuff and kind of like keep up with their things, you know.
Sure.
So I want to see their story in WWE being built out so that I can understand them a little better. I am now becoming that casual WWE fan where, like, I don't know where these guys came from.
Casual.
I'm a casual now, friends. You know what I'm saying?
It's crazy that not that long ago I saw Motor City Machine Guns at a 4-pack with Aussie Open.
Wow.
Tana and Okada, I think. Who was the fourth team in that? Not TMDK, I wouldn't remember that, but that's just how quickly the wrestling scene moves. Like,
yeah, it does.
She's on a retirement tour. Aussie Open's obviously signed to AEW. Motor City Machine Guns is here. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I've seen their matches. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I've seen highlights and I've seen long matches and I've seen them on in other companies, and I see what they've done in the past in other places. It's just that it wasn't a consistent thing, right? It wasn't like I was staying behind them and trying to see where their story came from. And that goes for all the companies. When AEW brings somebody in from somewhere else, I don't have the time to go and look up their story either, you know? So I'm kind of just left there building myself up to understand who
they only are. Modernized modern wrestling for tag teams, Alex. It's no big deal. Don't feel bad about it.
You know,
they're only like grandfathered and pioneered a whole different style of tag team wrestling into this century. So it's not like it's not important. Don't sweat it.
In WWE terms, who did they ever beat? No, I'm playing.
Well, tonight, my friend, they beat former tag team champions, A-Town Down Under.
Recipient.
An egg recipient. Tag team champions and egg recipient.
An egg recipient. That's what I know him for, by the way.
There you go. Well, a couple more backstages. If you guys have any more super chats or humper chats you want to send in, feel free to do so, because we only have a couple more things to talk about. We did have a backstage with Bailey saying that she likes to take advantage of opportunity. She's made a career out of it. And that beating up Tiffany is going to be one of those. And Tiffany has never beaten her, despite them wrestling all of last year. And we also had a backstage featuring Carmelo, which was nice to see. Like that they're at least carrying things over with him. It doesn't feel like they've been paying off any of the losses he's been taking. But the win over Sami Zayn was a good one. He's Captain Interruptus today. So some good stuff. Some good stuff there. But yeah, that was pretty much our show for today. We started with the end first. So we appreciate all the support that we got tonight. Feel free to send in any final chats, but we are going to plug our stuff and get out of here in an hour. And
happy Saturday to everyone.
Happy Saturday, y'all. But Alex, where can people find you?
You guys can find me very easily.
You're like, I'm right here. What do you mean?
I'm always on Fightful every Friday. Can you imagine? No. Just go to AlexisCardoza.com. I know it sounds a little bit weird. Like, why did this dude just tell me to go to his name and add a .com after it? It's just the easiest way to go. You'll be able to find all of my amazing links there and all the projects that I'm working on, all the things that are coming up. I will be needing a lot of you guys' help soon, because I want to get my Instagram account back up and running to high efficiency levels. I deleted like 10,000 people. Just because I needed a purge. That account since like it was a beta. So and a lot of those people don't even use Instagram anymore that I was noticing. I was like, from 12 years ago. So yeah, if you guys are not following me on there, follow me on there and on Blue Sky. So we're having a good time. We're having a good time. Thank you so much all for always supporting me, loving me. I love our conversations online, offline, DMs, all of that stuff. It makes my day much brighter. So thank you all.
There you go.
May Netflix be with you.
2LT Photo saying may Netflix be with you and with your spirit, 2LT Photo. We appreciate you.
I love you, Netflix.
I love you, Netflix. I love you, viewers. I love you all. Thank you so much for the support you've been giving me on my own channel, MS Kayfabe on YouTube. A couple of shorts that went up there this week. Some fun videos as well. I did a recast of Wicked with your favorite wrestlers. I was joined by Katie and Cresta, who's on Fightful, for that. And then I also did a video I referenced earlier in this show outlining 5 shared weaknesses of AEW and WWE. They're not so different. So maybe stop being so tribalistic, you weirdos. They've got some strengths, weirdos, some things that they need to work on. But please go over there and subscribe. I'm also going to be doing a New Japan Pro Wrestling Battle in the Valley watch along tomorrow that starts at 10 Eastern. I've done a couple of those. They always just turn into like a fun slumber party. The card looks great. You've got ZSJ versus Etchicero. You've got I think Mercedes is in action tomorrow too. You got a lot going on that card. I, of course, remember ZSJ because why wouldn't I?
You know That's him?
The sicko in me. But their first two matches were great. ELP versus Cobb. That was that is one to watch for sure. So hang out with me tomorrow night for some more real graps. But we are going to get out of here. Thank you so much for the support tonight. And always stay tuned. We are going to start because this, oh my gosh, I forgot this was tomorrow. I thought this was later in the month. Takeshita versus Kushida. Yes. Yeah, that's going to be great.
We have a doubleheader tomorrow. We got AEW Collision simulcasting on TNT and on Max. And then you have
New Japan Battle in the Valley.
New Japan Battle in the Valley, baby. I thought you were going to say it, and I waited. And
sorry, no, I thought you were.
We were in the same boat here, friend. What happened?
Keep an eye out on our social media, too. Oh, it looks like we have this final chat from Meet Norma saying, may Gabagool be with you and with your Netflix and thanks. May Gabagool be with you and your spirit and Netflix as well, Meet Norma. But yes. Keep an eye out on our social too, because this time of year is getting so crazy. We're going to start doing graphics of our programming slates from week to week, because you're going to have post shows on weekends for pay-per-views and PLEs yes. and specials and all sorts of stuff. This time of year just gets so, so crowded. So we're going to try and make it easier for you guys to stay on top of what we've got going on here at Fightful. So, oh my gosh, New Year's Eve tomorrow night. No, New Year's Eve was Tuesday, Tina.
Was that like
it was Tuesday? It was a TV special, but it was great.
Oh, the encore. Encore.
Oh, a replay of it or something? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Whatever you're watching this weekend, enjoy it.
If anyone's in California, God bless you. Be careful out there.
Yes, of course. I meant to start the show with that.
A lot of people who are trapped, and I don't know if they're going to even have a home, but yeah.
Take care of your loved ones, take care of them and their animals, and reach out and provide resources as much as possible. Our heads and hearts are with everybody affected by the fires that are in Los Angeles. But join us for Grapsody and the Collision Post Show tomorrow and my own watch along. We will see you there. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We're out.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.